Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and this is the podcast where we talk about wine, beer, food, and everything yummy happening out here in Asia. Today, I'm joined with Mary Ma, one of the leading KOL in the food scene out here in Shanghai. She's kind of superwoman by day, working in PR, and then at night, she does pop-up hamburger shops. She does everything from cooking shows and even working with key brands like Airbnb, beer brands, to do promotion out here in China. So this podcast is really interesting. We also get to talk a little bit about what it takes to be a KOL and how she manages work-life balance. And as well as we just talk a little bit about her new project called Fuck Off 30, all the things she needs to do before 30. So stay tuned. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bottled in China. This is the podcast where we talk about food, wine, beer. And today I'm really lucky. I'm joined with a KOL and a foodie, Mary Ma. So Mary, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Yay.
That's the most excitement in an introduction that I've heard so far.
Oh, really? Okay. Maybe I got some wines before. So.
That's even better. So now you're warmed up for this episode, right?
I'm ready for that.
So tell us a little bit about what you do right now. You're one of a very influential, let's say, foodie, food blogger. You've done a lot of, let's say, small TV. You're also doing some cook-offs and you're doing a lot of events and working with a lot of big brands. Mm-hmm. And actually, funny enough, you know, as to say, you have a completely different career than what's happening now, right? In the food industry, let's say. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. Right now, I'm still a full-time, I am doing a PR in a luxury brand. And my part-time, like what I do during weekends and after work is I have a pop-up store with my partners. And I met him in a cooking show, a local cooking show in Shanghai. And then we started to think about maybe we should do something fun together. And we both like burgers. We both like drinking. So we think, yeah, let's do something on weekends. So we have a pop-up store called 11 p.m. So every Saturday night at 11 p.m. we will serve a Wagyu burger, and then we usually cooperate with some local bars, and so they can serve drinks and we can serve burgers. Yeah. So it went quite well. So we have done that for 4 months last year, and we will probably come back on this July.
So is it every single week, or what's your schedule like?
Every single week. But okay. Sometimes like twice a month, because we both have full-time job and yeah. It's quite pressured.
So. And so like what's happening? I know that it's every time 11 p.m. it starts at night.
Yeah.
And I think that's really a Shanghai thing because we don't go out until 10 p.m. anyways. So if, you know, that's when you actually start to get hungry all over again, right?
Yeah. Because we think 11 p.m. The first reason is because, you know, in Shanghai, we have many chengguan. So if you do some street food, then they will kick you out. So we think after 11 p.m., they get off work. So we start our business. And then the second thing is we think 11 p.m. people start to get dizzy, a little tipsy.
Okay, so they're hungry.
Yeah, they want to try something heavy. And we start from 11 p.m. and end up like in the 5 a.m. in the morning sometimes. But usually it's ran out in 1 hour.
That's crazy. And I know that you do a lot of it. Is it always changing locations? Because I know that you do a lot of it at, let's say, Epic or bars. And of course, where people come out, you know, after drinking.
Yeah.
And it's like more of a boutique kind of hamburger. It's not like something that's just fast food. You guys are like trying to make it really boutique. Like, do you guys use special ingredients, or is there kimchi in it or something interesting in it?
Yes, because my partner, he is very a professional chef. So he knows, especially he's doing Western food. And for me, I have been trying this for many years. And so for our burgers, every week we have different theme. So every week we will invite one guest. So we will have a talk with her or him, and then we ask her, what's your favorite ingredients? And then we will adding these ingredients to our burger.
Okay.
So every week we have different. That's kind of thing to attract more people to come. And then for the guest chef, like we call this guy guest chef. So he will also help us to serve people, and he will call in more friends.
So is it usually, you said you have about, within 1 hour, it's sold out anyways. Mm-hmm. So how many burgers are you kind of pumping out in 1 hour?
100 burgers.
And who are they? All people that are literally going out of the bar, or are people coming out at night in their pajamas hungry to come see you?
Yeah, at the very beginning, we try to attract these people. They just came out of bar. But after, I mean, after two times, people started, we did the promotion on our moments. And yeah, after that, we have some KOL friends and media help us to promote. And then more and more people, they just came here for the burger.
So now people are getting out of bed specifically for
you. Yeah. They're from different ages. They have some IEs, and then we were like, what? How did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. And then we have some teenagers.
Okay.
So for teenagers, they want to have some fun.
Yeah.
So when they see the message, they see the post on WeChat, and then they just, let's go.
Yeah.
So we're like super surprised. And we also have some competitors.
So did people start after you started? Like, or were they always just there and now they're becoming more visible?
I mean, before us, we just know that the first time we served the burger, because there's some people, now we are friends now, they have a store called the Midnight Burger. So they also serve burger.
But only at midnight?
Only at midnight. And then, so the funny thing is, the first time we saw burger, there were like a bunch of people, like 10 of them coming to our booth, and they were like, what are you guys doing? Are you trying to grab our business? Or what? We're like, no. So we gave them burgers and we tell them what we are trying to do. And it's just for fun, not like for real business.
Yeah.
So after that, they're very funny people and interesting people. They said that maybe in the future we can do some cross-branding things. Mm.
So you were stepping in a territory, right?
Yeah,
a burger territory.
Know.
Sorry.
For us, I only think the street food is dumplings or noodles, fried noodles, you know, Chinese style.
Yeah.
That's why at very beginning, we started to serve very quality burgers with affordable price.
Mm-hmm. And what's like the prices?
50 RMB.
That's really good, yeah. Actually. It's not too bad, right?
Yeah. For the Wagyu burger. The steak is really good.
Not too bad. Mm-hmm. Okay. So and now people are catching on to it, which is even more important.
Yeah. And then now I think I have pressure because I mean, people has very high expectation of your burger. Next burger. What's that? So it took us like 3 months to 4 months to think about.
So what are some of the combinations you did last year that you think are the winner? Like, I know you did that with mm-hmm. egg on it. And what else have you done that you think is like really unique?
I think the last one you mentioned, the egg on it. And we have special steak sauce, which is the secret. And then
there is no secrets now. No.
Yeah, it's like when you're eating it, it's very cheesy and it's melting in your mouth. So everyone was like, take the first bite. It was like, oh, it's good.
So it's like a cheese-based sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it. So it's not like smoky.
Yeah,
or...
and sometimes we have some planted, but on site, when we serve it, we have some more ingredients. So we just did it. So maybe the first one he got a burger is different from the last one. Like the last people got is different from the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more crafty, if anything.
Yeah, it's a test. Because for me, I have a dream to running a real like restaurant.
Mm.
But I have so many chef friends. And I know it's kind of, you got many pressure. You have many things to deal with to run a restaurant. So for me, pop-up store is just the first step for me to test how to run a business.
Actually, that's very important. I think that's something in the, and of course, like you're just mentioning, in the restaurant world, it's very, very competitive. And I think Shanghai is ridiculous, especially recently.
Yeah.
The number of restaurants that open and then, of course, have to close in just like under 1 year is really, really high.
Yes, it is. Especially many people running the restaurant, they have to pay a lot for the rent. The rent is ridiculous high here. And so, one of my friends, he's running a burger place called Charlie's Burger.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
And that's really good.
And they just about to launch the three stores, the third stores, which is really nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you have to have a very special product to attract people. For the first step, and then after you need to keep it running. So you have to have some new things, sparklings to attract people.
So of course you said that you wanted to have a restaurant. If you did, what would it be? Like, are you thinking of something that's like already been done? Is it hamburgers at 9 a.m.? Like breakfast burgers?
I think I prefer some Japanese style.
Okay.
You know, in Japan, they have some restaurant, they don't have menu.
Yeah.
So it's very small and you just go there
and
they will serve you whatever they want. to serve you. I think if I want to have a restaurant, it would be like that.
That feels like home for me, I think. Right. you get what's in front of you.
Yeah, and you have power. Like, you eat this. You only eat this.
That's true. That's very true. And then no one can complain that they didn't like one part of it, because that's you have no clue what it is.
Right. In Shanghai, I used to went to a Shanghainese local restaurant. Mm-hmm. It's called Chun Chan Ting. Now it's closed. Mm. And then they only have 3 tables. So they only have a certain menu. And then the boss, 老板娘, she's there and she also cooks. So you need to book and you go there. She will tell you, today we have that. And the first date I have with my husband was there. And we were there and he told me this place is so good. And we were there, the 老板娘 was sitting right behind us and we were eating. She was like, finish this. This is really good. You have to finish that. I was like, what?
So it's not only a menu you have to eat. Someone's watching over you.
why don't you like this? I mean, very, at that moment you feel weird, but after you feel like family.
Yeah.
And the food is really fresh and good. So
yeah,
but it's too sad it's closed right now.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, now that you mention it, I feel like I should have gone, man. That's too bad that they closed. Yeah. Now tell me a little bit about, you know, I think a lot of what you're doing in Shanghai is KOL, right? So can you explain to everybody, what is a KOL if they don't know? And what makes you a very unique KOL in the food industry?
Okay. I think KOL is a key opinion leaders in certain industry. So for me, how did I start?
How did you start? That's probably a good one.
Okay. So I started like 3 years ago. And at that time, one of my friends, he's working at the private hosting dinner app. And then he told me, maybe you should try to be our host. And the concept of this app is to bring in all the foodie and home cooker together. So you invite friends, not friends, strangers to your home. And then
that's even worse, huh?
You don't know who are they. And what you do is very easy. You just set up the menu and the price and the date, and you take pictures of your food and you upload online, and then people who want to come, they will book, and at that moment they will show up.
Okay.
Yeah. So as a host, it's very important to have a good cooking skill, right? And then the second thing is you have to think about some entertainment, and you have to, because for me, for the dinner, I usually host like for 8 people, so they don't know each other. Mm. And they show up at your place. So I need to prepare some games to icebreak, like,
really?
Who are you? What are you doing? And what kind of food do you like? And then after I start to know more and more people, and they introduce people to my home.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. So many of them are working at marketing too. I mean, for marketing people, they usually like to know what's happened on the market and why people are so interested in this app. So after they think maybe we should do some cross-branding things.
Yeah.
And then we start with a small sponsorship, like juice or kitchen pots or other things related to kitchen. And then they said, when you're hosting dinner, you can show them our juice.
Okay.
So step by step. And after I get some big names, brands, and I did some collaboration with them, which is really good.
So when your friend asked you to join at the beginning, how many followers or how many people were on the app at the beginning when you first joined?
I think just say 500.
And now how many are on that app?
Oh, it's millions. Now it's like 1 million.
Really? Mm-hmm. And in between that, from 500 to 1 million, how long was that? How long did that take?
2 years.
That's so fast. I mean, that's very really good, actually. Yeah. And that's like the same concept with Uber a bit. I think there's a lot of this sharing platforms going on.
Right.
And to have somebody in your house, I don't know how I would feel. I mean, that's pretty daring, because you're pretty much opening yourself up in terms of like everything's in your house and you're cooking. And that's kind of interesting. But did you ever have any really interesting experiences that you've been shocked about?
Okay, there's one time, there's a lady, she's about, I think, 40 or 45 years old. And I was surprised, because usually young people show up for this kind of dinner. And then she didn't say a lot during the dinner. And she didn't really introduce herself. She just told us, I like to test everything. I like food. And then after 1 month, she messaged me. She said, I want to bring my family here and to celebrate my son's birthday. I was like, what? okay. And then after the day she showed up, she just told me my son's really like steaks, so prepare a very expensive, good quality one. I said, okay, noted. And the day she showed up, she has three sons, and she also brought her nanny.
Yeah.
And the driver. So the dinner was kind of weird for me, but at least we were, like, me and my husband was communicate with her sons.
Yeah.
So they had fun. And the other time is another couple. They just booked the dinner for Valentine's Day. And then Valentine's Day, maybe he wants to propose or something. So we prepared very romantic roses and, you know, candles for a very good atmosphere. And after that, it turns out like the whole family showed up, like 12 of them. Yeah, because when they book the dinner on app, you don't know who are they.
Yeah. You just know the number of people.
Yeah,
okay.
So they book for 12 people. So we thought maybe a friend's. And
yeah,
the guy wants to propose. So after that, they have three children, and they have grandparents. So we're like, oh, okay, it's more feels like Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
So that's the most impressive moment I have.
Yeah.
And others are just young people and try to share their life story together.
Wow.
Which is also very fun.
But one of the funnest things is I was driving. I think I was obviously not driving. I was in a taxi. I was in a taxi at the back, and then I was going to the office early morning, and then I see you on the screen. So for people that don't know this in China, there's like a screen behind the driver's seat, or, you know, in the passenger seats. And then you can watch like small ads playing basically. And usually they're not always that good, but yours was amazing. All of a sudden I come in and it's like you cooking, and then there's a Japanese style thing going on, and it looked like an awesome recipe with like tofu skin, rice and everything. So can you tell me what was that all about, and about the collaboration?
Okay, that was the campaign I did with Airbnb. So at that time, they were doing a campaign to let people experience the local life, which means when you choose Airbnb to stay at a place, you will share your local experience with locals. So they invite me to Kyoto and to stay with the most famous host in Kyoto, Mr. Taiko. I still remember her because she's a middle-aged woman, but she's very energetic. So she doesn't speak very perfect English, but we try to talk all the times, and she knows how to play instruments. We were there for 1 week, and doing 7 days, she taught me how to make local Japanese food, and she brought me to many, many local clubs, like lounge, all the places. And there was a shooting crew, and they record everything. So they made it as a video. And I think it's a good experience, like let the people, especially my followers, to experience the Airbnb value of that.
So how many followers do you have now?
Now it's 30,000.
And is it on WeChat or on Weibo or what? On where?
WeChat.
Okay.
WeChat and Weibo. Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think 4 to 5 years ago,
yeah,
most of people are still using Weibo, and now all switched to WeChat.
Yeah, of course. And so, and then from there, I mean, were you excited every time going into a taxi hoping to see your video come on? I mean, was that something you're looking at, and or was it embarrassing for you? Or
yeah, the first time when the video released, so every day I got messages. Is that you?
Well, it says your name at the end, though.
Yeah, there's the name. But the funny thing is, like last year, I went to Disney and to have an interview. So the guy was like, "You look familiar. Wait." So the guy interviewed me, and I thought, and then he was like, are you the girl who doing cooking in the taxi? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's me. So after 1 hour, I was talking about the cooking experience.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy. That's so interesting. Yeah. So that was a partnership with Airbnb, actually. And then also turned into a foodie video, I guess.
Yes, yes. And after that, we also have a collaboration on doing CNY. Mm-hmm. So they also invite my parents to Seoul. So we have shooting there.
Really?
Pretend
you like the family.
So the main concept is you can bring your parents outside, and then you can celebrate together.
Oh, that's nice.
Because usually we Chinese people, like, I mean, for holidays, we like to attend some group tourists.
Yeah.
So you don't need to worry about anything. You just go there, sit on a bus and go.
And look around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So nowadays, young people, we like to go alone. And they want to educate people. You can bring your parents.
Yeah.
So they also want to travel with you.
Yeah. So, oh, okay.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that's actually really, really interesting how it's all combined.
Yeah, for me, it's a free travel with my family.
Well, oh yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So let's talk a little bit about your actual career. I think it's just as interesting also because you're not at all, like I mentioned in the beginning, it's not actually food. Unfortunately, it's luxury goods. So like a designer and you're doing PR. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how do you manage this? I mean, I think we all know working in a big, very famous brand as well as doing, I mean, being married, everything. I mean, you are a very busy person. So how do you manage this? And for people that are something that, you know, let's say want to discover their own passion on the side, whether it be wine, beer, food, anything with a full-time job, what's your recommendation and how do you do it?
I think for me, because I started at the PR agency, so at that moment, I have more, people around me are more creative and they like to share in life and they're more energetic, I would say. And then now I'm working at the luxury brand and I just started this work like 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So right now my colleagues, they don't know I'm doing after work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. But some of them, they saw me in the taxi. So
yeah, so it's a little bit that blew your cover off.
But I think, I mean, you have your passion for something and you just keep doing it. That's very important because not everyone can like combine your professional work with your habits.
Yeah.
But at least if you try and you have more connection, you know more people and then they will give you advice. And they will tell you what to do and you will figure out a way. I think that's very important. For me, I'm kind of in the middle because, I know many people from, food and beverage industry and they give me many opportunities to switch my career. And, I think right now I need more courage to go to the next step.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Yeah. Well, it does take time. I mean, what, you know, if your next step is opening a restaurant, and especially when you just started in a new company, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But is it, I mean, I'm expecting you sometimes once a couple times that you have to go do this big hamburger thing that's 11 till sometimes, like you mentioned, 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm sure when you're doing your blogging, you have to write that up, get the pictures, organize, have interesting, I mean, everything is visual, so have great imagery. So again, I mean, are your nights like you get home by 7, 8 and then you work until midnight or like, how do you do this?
Usually I woke up very early. So I usually woke up at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then I have 2 hours to think about what to do today. I have a list, Excel to checklist to make a list. And then usually during lunchtime, I will think about my private things.
Okay.
It's 1 hour, like for the vlog and for the 11 p.m.
Yeah.
What's the recipe and who else we can invite for as a guest chef.
Yeah.
And then I off work around 7:30.
Yeah.
And then after I cook for husband.
But, you don't have time.
Yeah, I mean, I want to thank for my husband because he's very inspiring too.
Mm.
He's doing a game design.
Yeah.
So sometimes we share our ideas and then he can give me some new ideas. And then we talk about making a dinner. And then after dinner, usually we take our dog for a walk. So it's not so pressure for me because everything I did is all very creative. So the thing is you need to think about new ideas.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, execution is very important. 10% is idea, 90% is execution. You have to find a good partner to work with you. For me, 11 p.m. is, I think my partner, he is dealing with all the, like, the material process, like for the food, the bun, like the steak. He got all the resources. So he's doing that. And for me, I just do the promotion, the idea, the concept, like who else we can invite and what the scene we can host. And what kind of bar we can do the collaboration. So that's really lucky because we have a good combination.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's really painful because I also have some friends. They're both doing marketing. So they have same mindsets. They have same connection, but they lack of something else.
Mm.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. No, I think that's very true, but like you mentioned, I think a lot of it is extra. I mean, there's not a lot of people that wake up at six and automatically think, I've got 2 hours to work now for myself. And that's something that I think, like you said, if you want to be balancing both, you have to wake up earlier. You have to spend every single second trying to use it efficiently.
Yeah. I also know some friends, they are not in a food and beverage industry, but they have full-time job and they like running marathon. And then like every week they have a club, things, gathering, and they were trained together. So now they also being a KOL in a marathon industry, I would say that. So they also do many collaboration with sports brand.
Yeah.
They are like normal people like us, and they just spend more time on their interesting things.
Yeah.
That works.
Wow. That's crazy. I think for a lot of people, I think they feel it's a choice. Like if I want to do something on the side, I need to commit 100%, start the company, you know? But I think like you mentioned, it's like, it's you merging into it slowly is probably, like you just mentioned, a very smart way, an efficient way.
Yeah. And I also got one friend. He just quit his job.
Okay. What happened there?
So he saw the journey I have, and then he decided to, shit, I need to do something.
Yeah.
And then he was a designer too. And then he quit his job. He started to run the travel blogger.
How's it going so far?
Just 2 months.
Oh, okay. So we don't know yet. We need details later.
But I mean, it's a very brave decision.
Yeah.
And for us, I mean, for Chinese people, we have any pressure for work, for life.
Yeah.
So when you're turning 30 and you have really, really huge pressure. So for him, I really admire him to go there, to take this step.
Yeah.
So I will do that next month, next year.
Oh, yeah. That's quite fast, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just talk about that really quickly. You know, you said something that's really important is 30. Yay. That's another project you're working on. I feel like you have 6 projects, you know, that you're doing.
Same time.
Yeah. So tell me about that. That's one of them that you're doing, which is go for it. I mean, tell us. I'm like scared to say the words, but.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing I do now is with my best friends. We have been friends for 20 years, I think. And then one day we just talk about, hey, next year we're turning 30. We should do something fun together. Not like just crazy things. Very meaningful, useful things. And then we say, yeah, let's do it. So we set up a WeChat account.
Yeah.
And the name is...
You're going.
Okay, yeah, it's FX.
Yeah.
Fuck off 30.
There you go, yeah.
It sounds like very negative, but actually it's very positive.
Yeah.
And it's for girls, when you're turning 30, you should have something really nice, like decent job and a kid, a family. So for us, we think we're still kids. How come we just become 30 so quickly? And when we were teenagers, we don't have so much fun because we study too hard. In China, you have to go to good university, get a nice job. Then after that, you don't have a target after.
So
what should I do next? We don't have university. We don't have tests. And then what? So we think about maybe we should do something meaningful and inspire other peoples. So we have a list. We have 30 things to do in 1 year. And right now we finished a complete 18 things.
18. Okay. So you're halfway there.
Yes. Such as like we built 100 shelters for stray cats.
Aww.
We learned how to change a tie.
Okay.
Usually
like a tire, right?
And then we also dance with Ai. Because you know what?
Like the morning dance? Okay.
Yeah, we
I think that's fuck off 60 actually, right? That's what it should be.
Yeah, we teach them some new movements and new music. Not only Xiaopinguo.
So now when I go on like Ding'an Temple garden, they're starting to do like some, you know, hip hop.
maybe. So we also try to be vegan for 1 week. We felt this is the only thing we felt.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're running a hamburger stand.
And we also spend a day with 5 kids at the same time to experience how to be a good parent, which is very, very hard.
So you gave up that one too.
Yeah, I would give up. So after we're doing that, we have many friends because we are at the same age and they give us many ideas. And
yeah.
they want to join us for next things. So in the end, because our birthday is around October, so we want to host a big event like exhibition. And
that's great.
Yeah, we want to display all the things we do in pictures.
Wow.
And then we want people to come and write their, like, find their dates, like, their birthday, and write something.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's still on progress though.
I love it. No, that's great. I mean, that's the thing I really admire is the things that you do, you actually execute them. It's not like just ideas that you have. You actually do them. And that's really interesting. So, you know, I think we're just about to wrap up, but I think that your journey in whether it be food or whether it be creative process or now whether it be getting like a big checklist off, I think are all so interesting. And can you tell us, I'm going to shoot you 5 questions really fast and you have to try to answer them as fast as possible.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite Shanghainese food or dish?
红烧肉.
Really? Okay. Favorite Western restaurant in Shanghai?
Chinese burger.
Okay. Favorite food, like favorite thing that you could eat every day?
Egg.
Egg with everything. I guess it's so versatile, right?
Egg, you can like fry it and scramble it and boil it, steam it. So if I can only choose this for my whole life,
egg. Yeah, maybe. The craziest thing you still have to do to complete Fuck Off 30?
I plan to jump off the mountain.
Yeah, what? No.
The cliff. Sorry.
That's where, wait.
I'm very scared of the heights. So that's the thing I want to do.
Is it bungee jumping or is it jump?
Bungee.
Okay, I was going to say, like, that's that's how you end your 30s.
right. Bungee thing.
Oh, perfect. Okay. And I think our last one is, how can people contact you and get in touch with you and follow your adventures?
Okay, you can add me on WeChat.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, perfect.
Or you can find us on by searching Fuck Off 30.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Mary, thanks so much. You know, it's been really an honor to speak with you. And every time I see your moments and I see what you're doing, I'm also inspired and really hope that everybody can follow what you're doing and you know, go to the exposition if that's what you're going to have for your 30th birthday is coming up. And don't jump off the cliff without a bungee jump rope. That was awesome, though. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining and we'll see you in the next episode. So thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.